You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King. Wednesday edition of the show today. Apologize. Took the last few days off to get some stuff done at the real job. Had some obligations I had to get done over there. Kind of got swamped and didn't really get to a good Locked On Grizzlies podcast the past few days, but that changes today. Today we have Rebecca Lawson on the show today, editor-in-chief over at Mavs Moneyball. We're going to talk with her about the idea of DeLon Wright, why they chose to go with DeLon Wright, just some general NBA stuff. We'll get into that. Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, all that stuff today. We're going to have to start having some more of those conversations as we get into the longer weeks of the offseason. We'll have more conversations about this crazy offseason that was, kind of get into some predictions coming up here soon. But we'll do more of that with different people across the nation as they cover different teams. So that'll just be some more fun conversations just about the NBA in general. So start with Rebecca Lawson today from Mavs Moneyball. She was a great guest, and I just appreciate her taking her time out of her schedule to join me. But also, since we spoke last, the Grizzlies are champions. Grizzlies are summer league champions. Fantastic news for them. It's just it's impressive to do, really and truthfully, to have a bunch of guys that you have just for a few weeks, and you don't have really quote unquote stars in Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, both set out. So really, really just kind of impressive what Taylor Jenkins was able to do. Not that we can take a lot from what we saw with Taylor Jenkins and his style of play, but impressive nonetheless what he was able to do. I'm excited to watch Taylor Jenkins play and kind of game plan and scheme with Jaren and Ja, Brandon Clark, all these young guys. I mean, I'm really excited to see that, and you should be too, because Taylor Jenkins seems like he knows his way around basketball, and so that's going to be very, very fun to watch. But Grayson Allen finally showed up in the second half of the game, in that championship game, 25 minutes, 17 points, still really, really struggled from the three-point line. That is something that he's going to have to do. Something that I tweeted out also that I noticed about Grayson Allen. Just, you know, it just doesn't seem like a very high IQ basketball player. And that's something that varies from people like Brandon Clark, people like guys like Tyus Jones. Something that seems like this front office is really invested in is high IQ basketball players. You see that Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark is not necessarily, I mean, he's athletic, but he's not the longest guy. You've seen this as people have talked about, his wingspan is shorter, et cetera, et cetera. But Brandon Clark knows where to be and knows where, how to get there in certain spots. Very, very smart basketball player. And that's something that it will always translate in the NBA, just being smart and knowing where to be, knowing the spots to be in, where to go. You see it with Jaren Jackson Jr. last year and how he was being able to adapt quicker than most in the NBA, because he's a smart basketball player. He knows where to be, and something that's very underrated last year with Jaren. Yes, he was good at a lot of different things, but he's just a smart player. Same thing with Brandon Clark. The guy knows where to be when he's supposed to be there. Same thing with Tyus Jones, and why they felt like they want to invest in someone like Tyus Jones. Smart basketball player, takes care of the ball. All of these things, it's a reoccurring theme with this basketball team, these young players. Ja Morant remains to be seen with Ja Morant on what he's able to do there, because we really haven't seen him play other than college. So we really haven't seen him play in a kind of a higher talent level tier. So it remains to be seen. But Grayson Allen just doesn't seem like a very high IQ guy. A lot of times his offense, and I tweeted this, that his offense is just, you know, is floating between above the break, you know, three-point line to the corner three, and just kind of floating back and forth. There's really not a whole lot there. And I'm not really sure if that's the case, because he needs, he needs the ball in his hands more. If that's the type of playmaker he is, or that's the type of player he is. But in this league, he will have to become a consistent, dominant three-point shooter if he wants to make it in the NBA as a role player. That's what he's going to have to do. That's going to have to become his specialty, along with playmaking on the offensive end. And really, that was the only time we saw it in the entire summer league with Grayson out. It was the second half of the championship game. We really was able to do some things. And so so the jury's really still out on Grayson out. Again, like we talked about when we first got this pick, or we first got this player from the Utah Jazz. Said this then, said I'll say this now. Grayson Allen is a project. That's what he is. He is the potential, hopeful player, young player that you got from Utah Jazz in that trade, which is what we always wanted. If you follow the show from back The entire last season, we talked about it. That's what you wanted from those trades in Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, is some type of useful player. And they got that in DeLon Wright, Jonas Valanciunas from Marc Gasol, got that in Grayson Allen and Jay Crowder from the Utah Jazz. But Grayson Allen is very much a project. He did not get any time really in last year's in the NBA. So it will remain to be seen what he really is in this NBA. Like I said on this show last week, if they don't like what Grayson Allen can be, they'll just move on from Grayson Allen. But Brandon, speaking of Brandon Clark, he was the MVP for the finals, MVP for the Summer League. Really, I am excited to watch Brandon Clark play. I'm shocked this many teams passed on Brandon Clark. And I know we shouldn't get excited about Summer League, but man, he is where he's supposed to be everywhere. Anytime he's supposed to be there defensively, he's good. He's good offensively. I mean, if he can consistently, he made another 3-pointer in this game, but if he can consistently make 3-pointers, you know, and move his shooting out even more to beyond the 3-point line, he will become an incredible player in the NBA. He will become a very, very good, competent, have a very long career in this league. That's something he will have to work on when he gets to the Grizzlies. And, you know, day in and day out is what he's able to do beyond the 3-point line. But just seeing him play, I mean, it was exciting to have him play, exciting to have him out there. I can't wait to watch him play with Jaren Jackson. I think that's going to be a really, really interesting pairing. And it's almost, you know, you have to start asking the question of, when does Brandon Clark make Jonas Valanciunas expendable? Is there a point where you get there? Do you get there? I don't know. It's a question it's a curious question you have to ask yourself. Is there a time where Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson can play the 4 and the 5 together, and that makes Jonas Valanciunas expendable? Is it after year 1? At year 2, does Jonas Valanciunas play out the entire contract? It's something to think about, and I thought about it the other night. It's something definitely that will need to be looked at. I mean, because ideally that's the hope, you would think, is that Brandon Clark will take over that spot with Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the idea. But will it be sooner rather than later? Will it take as long as they thought it would take? That's something that remains to be seen. Bruno Caboclo, again, I don't know why he's playing in Summer League. I could probably guess it never hurts, but he looked well. He looked played well in the game on Sunday. Tyler Harvey is a guy that I think needs to be on a roster somewhere in training camp. I really wish that they would give him a training camp invite, maybe an Exhibit 10 contract for the Grizzlies. I think it would be, you know, at least put some competitiveness in there. I mean, you need that kind of. I think you could probably use another guard. I don't think he'll probably make the final roster, but I think he deserves a training camp invite to at least take a look. I really hope he's back with the Hustle next year. Honestly, he really deserves a two-way contract on a team somewhere in this league. If that's not with the Hustle, that's somewhere other than Memphis. He deserves that. He's a good basketball player. Really, really competent basketball player. Can score the basketball. I really like what he's able to do. I love to see the Grizzlies bringing in on a training camp invite. Doubt it would happen, but I would love to see that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Rebecca Lawson coming up next. We'll talk with her all about DeLon Wright. We'll talk with her about the rest of the NBA. So enjoy that conversation between myself and Rebecca. Welcome back to the show. Another great guest for you guys today, Rebecca Lawson, Editor-in-Chief at Mavs Moneyball for SB Nation. Rebecca, how are you today?
I am fantastic. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, we here at Locked On Grizzlies are, I might be the only one that's upset that DeLon Wright has left the Grizzlies. Everybody else seems not to care. But I want to start, since you cover the Mavs, I want to start with DeLon Wright. I want to start with the idea, and just kind of why did the Mavs feel like they really needed to pursue him? And they gave up assets to retain, you know, to sign and trade him. Why do they really? I guess why do they feel like that was the right person to pair with Luka, Kristaps, and the younger core over there?
Well, the biggest thing to know about the Mavericks is they are horrible at a lot of things. They are generally horrible at drafting, despite the fact that they have Luka. They are occasionally good at pulling a really big trade out, like the Porzingis trade, but they've had a fair share of those trades backfire on them, like the Rajon Rondo trade. And they are kind of bad at free agency. Generally, they kind of do have to acquire. They are. I mean, they're just really bad at free agency. I still remember sitting around on my computer waiting for Darren Williams to choose between the Nets and the Mavs. And, like, they go after these big fish free agents all the time, and they never get them. So we were all very relieved this offseason when they had kind of announced via a few trusted reporters, that they weren't going to go after Kawhi and they weren't going to go after the big names and instead focus on some mid-tier who they deemed kind of gettable free agents. And their plan A was really Danny Green. And so the Mavericks did have to wait out the Kawhi Leonard decision to see where Danny Green was going to sign. And when Kawhi went to the Clippers, Green went to the Lakers pretty quickly thereafter, which was always kind of what we thought would happen. And so they had to move to backup plans. And DeLon Wright is a player they've been rumored to have targeted for actually a pretty long time. He did play really well against them last year, had a couple of triple-doubles, I think, when he was with the Grizzlies later in the season against the Mavericks. So that's something that Mavs fans remember pretty well. And it's just a very good fit, something that the Mavericks really needed this offseason and something they were very much targeting with Green and then Wright is defense, because they just don't have anyone, Luka included, who can guard some of those opposing players that the guys in our current lineup really can't do. And so he's got the defense, Wright has the defensive versatility that we've seen a little bit with Toronto, and I think his numbers kind of spiked across the board with the Grizzlies last season after the trade, that made him a better fit in that lineup, just a gettable player who's going to be solid and who's going to add some of that defensive versatility that the Mavericks were missing.
Yeah, it's something that I thought was interesting that they went after DeLon Wright, and they even, you know, like you mentioned, gave up assets to do it. And I don't know now. I don't know if that's because they're not good at they're not good at being in front office, or they just really, really wanted DeLon Wright. How do you think? I mean, do you think his passing is something that really, really, you know, pairs well with Luka and Kristaps? And do you think he's the opening night starter for you guys?
So Rick really does like to mix up his lineups depending on Rick Carlisle, the Mavericks head coach, for those of you who don't know. He really does like to mix and match his starting lineups depending on what the opposing team brings.
Right.
And so I can see some days where he would be the starter. I can see some days where, you know, there might be a different kind of lineup in the mix depending on who the opposing team is. But ultimately, I think he would be penciled in as the opening night starter. And I don't think he's a perfect fit in the Mavericks lineup, to be terribly honest. He doesn't have the shooting, despite appearances with the Grizzlies, the shooting numbers across the board for career are generally a little lower than what the Mavericks kind of like in a shooter. But, you know, maybe he works on that. Maybe he brings that up. They did spike in Memphis. And so the shooting isn't quite there, but the defensive versatility is. They have no one else in their starting lineup who can handle that or on their bench. So I think he's going to be penciled in as that opening day starter. Not a perfect fit in that lineup. But I think ultimately, like I said, gettable player for the Mavericks through trade, where they couldn't necessarily get him in free agency or get another similar type player in free agency.
It's interesting. I think DeLon Wright's a good player, and I think that you guys are going to get him a very versatile player. You know, I think he's good for what he is, and he is, like you mentioned, the shooting is something that, despite what he did at Memphis on a bad team, playing a lot of minutes and take a lot of shots, that's not his strength, but he's a versatile player that can defend multiple positions, and which was surprising to me when the Grizzlies let him go for Tyus Jones. And again, I said this on my show in the past, it's not a bad move. It's just different. And so that move remains to be seen of how they kind of, I guess, win that move. If they go and secure more shooting in the long run, I guess it doesn't matter. But I want to switch gears for a minute. I want to talk about some general NBA with you. It has been a crazy offseason. Like, I don't even know. But I guess the biggest news is Kawhi Leonard. Did it shock you that he went to the Clippers? Was it more shocking he went to the Clippers? Or was it more shocking to you that he was able to get Paul George over there with him?
Not shocking at all to me that he went to the Clippers. More shocking the Paul George news. So I'm an unabashed huge Kawhi Leonard fan. He's actually how I got into the NBA. I live in San Diego, and he went to San Diego State. And so I was following San Diego State's tournament run when Kawhi was on that team, and then, you know, into the NBA after that. So he's kind of my favorite non-Maverick player that I like to follow. I think the expectation was that he was going to really go with the Clippers. He's not made any bones about the fact that he'd prefer to be in Los Angeles, which is close to where he grew up. He makes San Diego his off-season home. I actually live right near where he lives, somewhere around here, probably overhearing this right now. That wasn't shocking to me at all. I think that was always kind of the move and kind of what he wanted to do. But the Paul George thing was shocking. I will say, living on the West Coast, I've been able to stay up a little later to follow some of these free agency moves. I went to bed at 11 o'clock that night, and I think everything kind of went down at like 11:30, 11:45. So woke up to that news and was kind of like, oh, what? Not quite awake yet. This seems wrong. But good for him. He's able to go to a team that's close to home. He's able to immediately give that team an upgrade with Paul George that makes them immediate title contenders. I think, if I remember reading this correctly, I think they're actually more favored than the Lakers at this point. And, you know, frankly, he's the type of guy who I never really saw going to the Lakers. The Lakers are LeBron's team right now. And, you know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who wants to be a second star. He's been a second star his whole career in with the Spurs, played second fiddle to Tim Duncan. And, you know, this is a chance for him to sign somewhere he wants to sign, forge his own path, be his own man. And I think that was really appealing to him in the end. And that he was able to get Paul George is just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, my next question was, did they make him a title? Does Kawhi make, really, I mean, almost any team a title contender? I think he's probably, I said this as one, I think he is the best player in the world. And if you give that chance to get, you know, you basically giving up all those assets to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, if you think about it like that. If you do that, I would give away 11 first round picks for Kawhi Leonard. I don't care what it matters, because I won't be here in 11 years. So it won't matter to me. I'm trying to win a title right now. And so it makes sense. Well,
And the window in the NBA is so small these days. It's, you know, the superstars can dictate apparently where they go, even if they're in the middle of a long-term contract. You just force a trade, and you just trade all your assets for that 2 or 3 year window to win. And that's what the Lakers have done, and that's what the Clippers have done. And gosh, I hope that's not the new normal in the NBA, because Mavericks have no more assets, man.
Well, the Grizzlies are in the asset gathering stage, so who knows? I mean, they were same with the Mavericks. The previous regime in front office traded everything away, like you're right though. I mean, it's the window to win is so finite, especially with you have to think about making it through the season of just with injuries, as far as fatigue. I mean, it is such a long, grueling season, and having everybody standing. At the end of the, I mean, you saw it this year. How many Warriors had to get hurt for the Raptors to win? I mean,
it
was insane. I mean, had the Warriors been healthy, I think it's a different scenario, but that's how many people had to get hurt for the Raptors to win.
And you also have to take care of your superstars in this league. So first of all, you have the injury factor in terms of, you know, making sure your players stay healthy when you have that team. So the Clippers and Lakers, it's all going to be depending on health. But then you look at when you have superstars, so a team like the Mavericks, for example, you know, they have Luka, they have Porzingis, and they got very lucky with Dirk being the kind of player who was just never going to leave, especially once he won the championship. They took very good care of him. He had no desire to leave. But I don't think that's going to be true of Luka, and I don't think that's going to be true of Kristaps, and I don't think that's true of any superstar in the league anymore. If you look what happened with Anthony Davis, they didn't take care of him. He wanted out. And so you've got to really focus in this modern NBA about putting a winning team around your superstar and doing it quickly, because they're going to lose patience at the end of those contracts. They're going to go somewhere where they will put that winning team around them.
Absolutely. And with Paul George leaving, then that left Russ, and then now he's in Houston. right move or wrong move going with Russ and James Harden again together?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see if that works. Obviously, it was a really dynamic pairing several years ago, but these are two players who are a lot older. Russ hasn't had the best reputation in the last couple of years in terms of being able to pull his team further along in the playoffs. You know, but pairing them together again, you know, so many years later, the skills are maybe they're a little older, maybe they're a little rusty, maybe they have to get used to working together again. I'm, you know, as someone who's in that division, obviously, I'm going to be looking at that very closely and seeing how well it works, because the Rockets are, you know, very similar to the Clippers and Lakers. They're in win now mode. Of course, Daryl Morey is always in win now mode, but I'm just going to be very interested to see if, you know, again, kind of mortgaging your future for something like that ends up working.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Russ. And so I joked on Twitter that if you didn't like a shoot first point guard before, guess what? Yeah, it's not going to be any better with a point guard that passes less than Chris Paul and shoots more. So it could be much worse. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I personally don't think it's going to work. And I think, like, to your credit, for the Grizzlies' sake and for the Mavericks' sake, I hope it doesn't work. But I just find it hard to believe with the amount of shots that Russ takes and the amount of – seems like poor decisions almost more and more every year. So, that'll be interesting to see. Last thing I'll get your take on, I'll let you go. Jimmy Butler, Miami. I thought that was one of the weirder decisions here in this offseason, to go seemingly out of nowhere to Miami and to not really – I mean, I don't really think there's a lot there roster-wise either for him to really win, other than it's just money and wants to be in Miami.
You know, I kind of feel bad for Eric Spoelstra, because since he had LeBron James and the championship teams in those years, he hasn't really had a great team to work with since then, and I really do think he's one of the better coaches in the NBA. So, in that sense, the trade for Butler, trade signing, I don't even remember at this point, it's been a long offseason, but Butler on Miami is an interesting move by them, just because it's a move for them to get a player who, you know, theoretically instantly improves their team. And you know, my husband's a Philadelphia 76ers fan. He wasn't a huge fan of Butler on the Sixers. I don't know of anyone who's a huge fan of Butler on their team. We had talked about it a lot on the Mavericks. We had talked about it a lot as Mavericks fans. Like, would the Mavericks try to make that kind of move? No one wanted him. He seems to be kind of a player that no one universally almost disliked. So it'll be interesting to see what a coach like Spoelstra can get out of him. And, you know, if being kind of the only superstar on a team works better for him than it has in the past. So it'll be certainly be interesting to watch, but it was a move for them to get a, you know, superstar player and, you know, try to become players in an Eastern Conference that's frankly pretty stacked these days.
Yeah, it was there's been so many sign and trades that I have frankly lost count, and I think it's been way more than it has in a long time. I thought that was
the really summer strange. Of the sign and trade.
That's exactly what, I mean, seriously, that's what it felt like to me. There's just so many, and there was just, it just came out of nowhere. And it seems like It was the cool thing to do. When one team saw, you know, the Knicks do it or whoever do it once, and they're like, oh, let's decide to do that instead. Let's get stuff for our assets instead of letting them walk for free. So it was
we used to tell Mavs fans, people don't, Mavs fans would come out like, what if the Mavs signed and traded for this guy? Weren't they signed and traded for this guy? We would always tell them, like, no one does sign and trades anymore. Stop it. And then, of course, this summer came around.
They're back. It's like the retro 90s coming back. it is, everything circles around eventually, and the sign and trades have done that as well. Rebecca, I appreciate it. Again, if you haven't already checked out Rebecca's stuff over at Mavs Moneyball, if you're a Grizzlies fan, NBA fan, Mavs fans, whatever, just go check it out over there at MavsMoneyBall.com. Rebecca, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mark. Great to be on.
Thanks again to Rebecca. I really appreciate her joining me. It's a really interesting conversation about the NBA as a whole. So I appreciate her taking the time out and joining me again. If you're not already subscribed to this show, please go do so in whatever platform you choose. Subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss an episode. Also, go to patreon.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. Make sure you subscribe over there to our Patreon page. It's $3 a month, but you get all kinds of great content, extra content over there. So make sure you go and check that out over at patreon.com/LockedOnGrizzlies.